morning, because I asked the Lord, you know, not only to give us eyes to see, but ears to hear, and then a heart to perceive what the Holy Spirit's working on in each of us in this season. And we have a tendency to, let's say, perceive God's ways by natural understanding. And that's been a flaw for me for a long, long time. Perceiving by natural comprehension is not good enough. It's got to come by revelatory ways in the Holy Ghost. And so if you will just take a deep breath and say, Lord Jesus, I am hearing.
I am
seeing.
I am seeing.
And I am perceiving.
And I am perceiving.
That my spirit man is so much more than I know.
Is so much more than I know.
Amen.
Amen.
See, one comment that I heard after our experience last Sunday, where the spirit within us was communicating with each other, spirit to spirit, and we didn't go into the reality of what we were saying. But in 1 Corinthians, there is a place in chapter 14 that may help to understand. And I brought this out because of the fact that we don't always comprehend what St. Paul is dealing with in the church in Corinth. But as maturing believers, we need to be aware that if we don't pray in the Spirit, we are stifling the most important part of us. Mm-hmm. Okay? And if we activate our spirit and pray in the Holy Spirit, He's going to build us up, which is what Jude says very clearly. Build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. But I'd like to take you to 1 Corinthians 14. And I think we'll just kind of, well, you can really check the whole thing out on your own. But more important, verse 13 says, "For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says." Pray for interpretation. So there are times that the Holy Spirit will press you to ask for interpretation. We didn't do that last week. We were just breaking ground.
I was. I wanted to know what you and Peggy were talking about, and I kept saying it. I said, "What are they saying?"
But we didn't pray for interpretation at that point.
No, I was asking. I didn't get anything, but I said, "What are they saying?"
Sometimes interpretation will be given. Other times, the Holy Spirit may say it's not for now. Mm. You know, so that needs to be understood, that that particular verse, you need to pray for interpretation, and if the Holy Spirit opens it up, He will give you what you said, if you can handle it. If you can't handle it, He'll keep it secret for you for a season. Not maybe forever, but for a season. So many Christians don't pray for the interpretation because they don't even know it's reality. Okay? 14, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Well, don't look for your soul to get, let's say, relieved, because clearly the press from St. Paul here is saying you're trying to be gratified because your soul is so strong and been used to controlling everything. And your soul is now going to be barking back, "Why can't I understand? Why this? Why that?" And really, that's your soul that's acting up. So now it says, 15, correct? "So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind." So your spirit man will pray in tongues, But your mind and your emotions and your soul will also pray. I will sing with my spirit. A lot of people don't even want to sing in the spirit because they think it's ungodly. But St. Paul says very clearly, I will sing in my spirit or with my spirit, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But I will also sing with my mind. Well, okay. I didn't think we were going to go there, but I've got a vision that just popped into my head. When I was asked to lead a team of people to go to Canada back in the 90s, that was one of the things at the Full Gospel Convention that I asked them to sing in the spirit. And that irritated so many people because they had never done that. And when we began to worship and sing in the spirit, I mean, hundreds of people are now worshiping in a tongue that they don't know, but had never broken the ground to actually break it open. Okay? When the whole situation was now, let's say, brought to that level, the religious folks had an incredible problem with me because the religious folks wanted to follow their traditions. And so, again, those are the things that you're going to find that when we are coming into a place when we begin to go higher in the realm of the Lord, there will be some adversaries. There will be some religious thinking that's going to hit you. Okay? And if you don't know that, it's time that you are aware that it will happen, you know. So there are times and places where you will be comfortable, but other places or others may be uncomfortable because of your freedom. When you're too free, you're going to be scary. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the word backs it up, okay? 16, if you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? So now he's bringing it to a place where I believe the Corinthians church were probably taking half of their service just praying in tongues. Well, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
We don't do this every single week like we did Sunday. That was a purposeful experience that I pray will break open for you to go higher and more of.
We were small.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what he's doing. He's whittling us down for a purpose, okay? Now, don't forget, why you're here is because he wants us to go higher. He's chosen us to be what? Holding up the pillars, praying for one another, making sure that we don't let go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, he says, 17, you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, that's an incredible statement on Paul's part.
Mm.
Okay? Now, do you want to do some of the work that Paul has commissioned and was commissioned to do? Well, he's still in the heavenly realms doing his work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's part of that cloud of witnesses. And there's a reason that he will be able to continue doing. He's not stopped using his spiritual language.
Even though he's right there with the Father and with Jesus,
he would have full understanding.
So they would be communicating in tongues?
With full understanding.
It's an interesting concept.
But again, it's interesting to the mind, but to the spirit man, it's not a problem. Got it? To the inner man, there's not a problem. To the mind, will, and emotions wants us to have something that we can understand.
So in the heavens, they're communicating.
You will understand.
They're communicating in tongues, not in...
Why does it call the heavenly language?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Yeah,
any, and I've read two or three books of people who had an encounter in heaven. Mm-hmm. But it was all in English.
It was in the language they were accustomed to because they're still in an earth suit.
Yeah.
And the soul is in control.
Mm. Okay.
So, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues.
Hmm.
So there's got to be balance. Amen? Brothers, stop thinking like children. And I love this part. In regards to evil, be infants, but in your thinking... be adults. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. If you haven't got that underlined, you should. Because it's important to recognize there's a purpose for both. But there is a reality that the prophetic is the higher order. Okay? So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his hearts will be laid bare, so that he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Orderly worship, I would kind of just take a good look at it, and you can definitely comprehend it. But I want to go to verse 30. If a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The purpose again, instruction and encouragement. 32. Underline 32, the spirit of the prophet are subject to the control of the prophet. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. You and I have a soul that can control it. We can shut it down and we can open it up. Most Christians are afraid to open it up because they've lived under an anointing of fear. And when that anointing of fear is in the control room, it's going to be difficult for you. And it was definitely difficult for me. I was so fearful of making a mistake that I didn't dare. I didn't dare open my mouth. Even though, you know, the Lord finally made me aware. But the reality is, I was comfortable being a child.
Mm.
And when we're comfortable being a child, it's okay. There's a season for that. But then he prompts us, just like if your little child, 4 or 5 months old, is never taught how to feed himself, what happens? If he's never taught at a year old to start walking, what happens?
It's not going to learn.
Mm. What are you doing? You're creating a cripple.
Yeah.
You're going to be encouraging those that have a gift or an ability. Like our little great-granddaughter there, she's 9.5 months old, decided that we have a step from our family room to the kitchen. And she's crawling. Well, guess what? No obstacles were going to be bugging her. She just put one leg up on top of there and just flew through the kitchen. It was her first time because her parents, everything is level in their home, so they don't have any step. And so we were all excited when she went up that first step because, hey, no bugs on that girl. Right in there. I can do this. And that should be our attitude with them who have, you know, with our heavenly language. Why get stifled? Do it. Push it out there. And aggressively push. And your best place is when you're alone. Because you're not going to have pressure from people. Let's say it this way. What we did last week, I don't recommend for everybody. Because not everybody's ready. But if it awakens you to go a little deeper and to cry out for the interpretation, then we go for it. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So I hope that that will bring some clarity to the message. And I would like, again, to reiterate that one verse that interpretation is something we need to what?
Pray for.
Pray for. Why?
Well, if
you don't ask,
if you don't ask, you won't get.
I think God wants us to know.
Yes, He wants us to know. He wants us to know probably more than we want to know. But there are times that I have interceded for different things. And I've asked for interpretation, and He said, not yet. Because I will hear, not yet. Mm. Well, sometimes it's because I'm not done. So He wants me to go back. Sometimes maybe I'm not ready for the answer He's going to give. Because it may not be any of my business for now. I might not be ready for what He wants me to, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a caution light that's involved. And so I hope that, you know, when we pray for interpretation, that not only will give it to us, but at the same time for us to respect that He is sovereign. Okay? He is in charge of developing us in our spirit, soul, and body. Now, your soul is definitely not used to submission. It's used to... It's used to what?
Control.
Having its own way, right. Mm-hmm. And we're transitioning now. And, you know, go to John chapter 14. I think that might be helpful. Verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. So the Holy Ghost is for?
Ever.
The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him. So if you're teaching worldly people, what's happened?
They won't get it.
They're not going to get it. No. So the best thing to do is what?
Shut up.
Intercede for them as the Lord leads, but don't try to shove something down their throat because they're not going to be able to work with it, okay? The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. So the Holy Spirit is a foreigner to the world. Amen?
Amen.
But He says then, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Ah. Now, my Catholic background. When I was 14, 15, I received confirmation, which is another ritual. I received baptism as a baby with two witnesses, godparents, and my parents. I wasn't given much choice. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I was sprinkled, and they was declared, and I believe God honors it. All right? But later on, when I matured, the Holy Spirit chose the time and the place, which I would not have chosen. I had already chosen where I wanted to be baptized. But the Lord closed the door. He said, do you want to be Lord of this, or do you want me to be Lord of this? Okay? Mm-hmm. So when I was baptized at Grace Church of Christ, it was in front of a lot of believers that thought I had been baptized 110 times. But I had not been, except when I was sprinkled as a child. And I can remember saying to Gino, I know that it's now, because supposedly all the baptismal people that were coming in for baptism had already been prepared, and this one wasn't prepared according to some. But God had prepared me. And I finally insisted, and he says, I thought you'd never insist. So I said, I know that it's got to be now. Okay, we'll make room, he said. We'll stretch it and we'll make room. And when I walked into that water, it was under a lot of pressure. Okay? And a lot of criticism. And that was okay. I was ready for that. So, where was the Holy Spirit before I went into that water?
He was with you.
He was with me.
But he wasn't in you.
But he wasn't in me, correct. When I walked out of the water, was he in me or with me?
No, in you, because that's the whole purpose of the...
Not really. For me, it was, because I received the tongues before. And I received the fullness of the Spirit way before. Okay. My second baptism. Okay?
Isn't it both?
I believe that in my situation, he was already in me, using me, and definitely, see, baptism, a lot of people think that, you know, it's like a ritual, blah, 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 and for me, the first baptism, I understood it as I was baptized, and I had testimony that people said, yes, I was there, and that was fine. I had godparents, but what I'm saying is, the Lord was letting me go into the water the second time and to be immersed, was to receive another level of his grace and another level of him being present in me. Because he was in me when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost many years before. Okay? So when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, really, he is now in you, not with you. So a great deal of the church right now, the average church, where the Holy Spirit is held at bay, he is with them, not in them. Does that help at all?
I was so disappointed, because I was baptized at Grace Church.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had been baptized at 14 without anybody explaining to me what was going on.
Yeah.
It was, this is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And so I made the conscious decision myself.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody was there that I knew. And I sat with Diana. Mm-hmm. Diana Drew and I baptized at the same time. But I was expecting this awesome Holy Spirit to manifest, and it didn't happen.
Right.
And that confused me, and I didn't tell anybody about that, but I thought, because I knew that was what was supposed to happen. But it did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long while before I began to understand, but I thought I...
So did you receive your tongues before or after?
It would be after.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when he came, see, it's like, I believe the Holy Spirit knows what we can handle, because I don't think there's any particular pattern that is perfect, okay? And I can remember when we went to Israel, and there were many that decided to go back for another baptism in the Jordan.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit says, you're not to do that.
That's what I heard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so several of us did not go back. I went in the water to help.
Mm.
you know.
Paddled my feet. That was as far as I got, because that's what the Holy Spirit said. You already done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're not going to duplicate for the sake of, or for another high, or an emotional high. Because it's not about emotions. It is about obedience. Okay? And so what I'm saying to you now is, if you love me, you will obey what I command. It's, again, a command. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be
in
you. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about Pentecost. Because this is given as information before the book of Acts actually happened. This is Jesus speaking out loud. It's red letter edition. Mm-hmm. He will be in you. The Holy Spirit was already promised. See, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead. The Passion. Read it. Good and loud.
The Passion says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of Truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again and you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you.
Kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
So now you see from what we tasted last Sunday, and I pray that you get the next level on this Sunday, that the awareness of who is inside of you and what your potential is. In other words, a lot of times I have people who think that, oh, I'm baptized, I don't need to bother with church, I'm all set. That's their opinion. Mm. Is it truth?
No.
Once you get the Holy Ghost, I'm all set now.
No.
Is it truth?
Online.
Okay? Because again, you've got experiences that are being used in the religious realm as a tool to build up their own kingdom. And I've seen that. And I'll be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned, there's a stench to my nose on that one. Because it's not the Holy Spirit that controls afterwards. It's the person under the anointing of their soul that uses and manipulates for profit. And people are building their own kingdoms rather than the kingdom of the Most High God. And I truly believe that as we stay focused on Him, He will continue to develop us. We're not done growing up. Okay? You know, whatever your last birthday was, did you change from the time that you had a previous birthday? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You may say, whoa, I'm deteriorating. Well, that's maybe on the outside, but on the inside, you are what?
Growing. Constantly growing.
Growing, exactly. There's spiritual attributes in you that are manifesting. And when we were sharing earlier, I mean, with all of the circumstances that happened in each one of our lives, every one of you said, I was at peace. Mm-hmm. I gave thanks in the midst of, and the peace restored my soul. It wasn't my soul having conniption fits like it used to. That's the fruit of the Spirit. By the fruits you shall
know them.
Amen. So we're tasting of His goodness. When my dinner had been set on the table and I joined my family, because I helped to serve along with several others putting the food on, I said, we need to just take a couple of moments and give thanks. And we did. And there was a couple of sputters, mm-hmm. okay, which I expected, but I plowed through. And we gave thanks because of the miracle that was happening to my grandson's house. And it irritated some forces at my kitchen or my dining room table. Mm. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with being...
They didn't agree with the miracle?
Well, I think they would have liked to control that too.
Oh.
All right? Because of anger and resentment. Mm. And when there's anger and resentment because someone else is getting healed, to me, it's a confirmation that God was on the job and not the enemy.
Yeah.
And so the enemy identifies himself quite well. Mm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, say, Lord Jesus,
this message is for me.
And I'm understanding
that
your Holy Spirit
is working on me
full time. I want to cooperate
in fullness
for what you want
from my spirit man.
And that is full control of this temple.
And
my soul to back off.
And
let the Holy Spirit
have His place
to control,
orchestrate,
and manifest
Jesus
in me
to
those that you've
prepared.
Amen?
And
amen.
And
amen.
And
amen.
And
amen.